Okay, so today's reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'll begin at verse 6. So we are always confident, even though we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we do have confidence, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For all of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may receive recompense for what has been done in the body, whether good or evil. For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And He died for all, so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for Him who died and was raised for them. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know Him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Okay, I'm going to begin our time today focusing on how the text ended in verse 17. It's kind of a familiar verse to some of us. It's been quoted by many about the gifts of the church and the gift of life in Christ. For anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life is gone and the new life has begun. So as we think about the gift of the new creation, the gift of life in Christ, when we think of things being new, we often think of them being better. Things being better because they're new and improved. They last longer. A better version of what we had. My friend Charles Taylor, who has spent years working with Corinth Coca-Cola, I get tickled when he goes into a restaurant and he orders a Coke and they ask him if Pepsi's okay. He says, just bring me a water instead. His allegiance is certainly with Coke. But I know that even Charles's allegiance probably was a little bit tested when they came out with something many of you will remember many years ago called New Coke. Well, New Coke didn't go over very well. So even though it was new and improved, it was not the preferred taste for the Coke purists and the traditional. So Coke had to backpedal and make a change. But oftentimes, I think we would all agree that when we think of something being new, whether it be a new car that excites us to drive it, or a new career opportunity, oftentimes newness speaks of more joy, better lasting, a better version of what we had. And so Paul uses those words to speak of what we become. We become new in Christ, a new creation, or maybe we would even say a better version of ourselves, and indeed a better reflection of Jesus Christ. Well, friends, that's a beautiful promise that Paul makes to us about the gift of life in Christ. And there are also other gifts that Paul promises in this text today that will comfort us in our journey of faith. He says to us, in verses 6, verses 8, and 14, Paul uses the word of being confident or having confidence in Christ. Well, you know, if we think of that word confidence, isn't it a beautiful gift to us, whether we're thinking about performance on an athletic field? You know, I've heard coaches often say, you've got to believe in yourself. You have to be confident when you go to the plate if you're playing baseball, or in your business if you're making a presentation, trying to sell your industry with the component, the widget that you make. You have to be confident in what you're selling. Well, Paul uses once again that very secular word to talk about the gift we have when we have faith in Christ. Paul said, I am confident. I have confidence. You know, when I transitioned my thought from that secular word, confident, to a more spiritual word, the word that comes to mind to me that's kind of a synonym of confidence in our secular world is to have peace. How about that? Confidence, similarly, could be described as having peace about our circumstance or what we're about to do. You know, I shared with you that we are out of town this weekend. We have Noah's dog, Luna, who she is quickly becoming Manya's and my dog. Y'all know how that works, right? When the kid gets a dog, sometimes it becomes mom and daddy's dog. Well, Luna last night, she didn't have a lot of confidence. She didn't have a lot of peace. You know when she didn't have peace? Those of you who are dog people are going to know this very quickly. When she got away from the rest of the family, we chained her up outside. Can you believe the nerve of us to make her be away from the pack, away from the rest of the family? You know what she did when she got in that? She started walking back and forth. She may have even barked a little bit. She got very anxious. She got herself tangled up in the cable that she was attached to because she was not confident in her environment. And yes, from a spiritual perspective, let's say that she was not at peace and she was going to make sure nobody else was at peace. But when she got in the presence of her master, whoever that was, Noah or me or Manya or Luke, she calmed down. She laid down. She rested. She was confident in her environment. Friends, isn't that beautiful? The experience that canines teach us. That when we trust our master, the one we're with, we have confidence and peace and are not concerned about the world around us or what circumstances come before us. Hallelujah. Isn't it good to know that Paul, the apostle, uses that same analogy in a far greater way than Luna the dog had peace and confidence being with her masters, that we, dear friends, when we surrender our life to Christ, not only is there hope eternal and the gift of heaven and the glory that awaits us in the joy of our heavenly home, but there is this. There is peace and confidence and comfort in our journey in this world. We won't be wrapped up like a dog. We won't be anxious and barking. We will be at peace when we are with the one who made us and claimed us as our master in heaven. Another gift that Paul promises in our text today. He speaks of the confidence that he has in Christ, but he also says this, a familiar text again to many of us in verse 7, where Paul says, we walk by faith, not by sight. Now, friends, if we will embrace that call of Paul, you know what I'm convinced of? That when we, if we look at it in a practical sense, are committed to walking more in this life by faith, by our heart, by seeking the Spirit's guidance instead of our own eyes, our own direction, we will be led in the right path as we walk. My little friend Ace is 14 months old. He was with us last evening, a nephew of Sage's, and he was walking around where everybody was, and he's just 14 months old. I mean, I'm 608 months old, and I had to do that calculation this morning. So Ace is just getting started on this journey, 14 months old. And here's the deal. You know when he walked the best around the house there? It's when somebody was holding his hand and he wasn't even really looking where he was going. He was just following the one he trusted. He wouldn't just walk with anybody. It had to be somebody he knew, somebody he trusted, somebody, in the words of Paul here spiritually today, he had faith in. And you know, isn't that a beautiful reminder to us? If we walk, dear friends, even like an infant child, and we trust our own vision, our own strength, Ace would have been far limited on where he could have walked had he gone with his own vision and on strength. But when he grasped, or let's say it this way, when he was grasped by one who loved him and nurtured him, he could continue on his journey all around and know the joy of walking in faith. How does that speak to us? The promise of Paul in our text today? That when we truly, friends, in every way we can, strive to put our hope, our faith in Christ for our journey, for the journey that he calls us to take, we too will know the journey of joy and life in him. And Paul also says this, as God offers us the promise of peace and confidence and faith by walking with him, Paul says, here's the result. Here's the outcome, what we should do, because God gifts us with this. We've talked so much today about the gifts of God. God gives us and makes us, right, a new creation. The benefit of us being that new creation is that we have peace and confidence, far surpassing even that of our pets who are in the presence of their masters. And we have faith, even like an infant child, to journey along. Those are the gifts, right? Of being in the new creation of Jesus Christ, giving our life to him eternally and presently in our journey in this world. Now, what's our call to faith? How do we respond for this great gift of new creation that Christ gives us? Here's what Paul says. Paul says in both verses 9 and then later in 15, Paul says here in verse 9, he says, because of this, whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. Let's hold on to that. Verse 9, Paul says, our aim as those who are the new creation, our response to faith is to please him. In verse 15, Paul says this, and he died once and for all so that those who live might no longer live to themselves, right? But for him who died and was raised for them. There, Paul says, in another way, we live for him. Earlier, Paul says, we strive to please him, Christ our Lord. And here, Paul says, the way that we strive to please him in verse 15 is to live for him. Friends, may we embrace this call to faith of Paul today, that as we are the new creation, to truly know the joy of our salvation and life now, even on earth, may we make it our priority, our commitment, our faith every day to live not for self, to please not the world around us, as Paul said, but to please Almighty God by living for Christ our Lord, his love, and the world around us to the glory of the Father. Now, finally, let's close with this. As we pursue to live out our faith this way, Paul says this. Paul says, we will all appear before the judgment seat. We will all stand before God, and we will face our recompense. Now, that's a scary word, isn't it? You hear this word, recompense. But let's digest that word. Here's the way Paul says it in verse 10. He says, for all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each may receive recompense for what has been done in the body, whether good or evil. Recompense, that's not a word we use very often, right? But you business folks out there will know what recompense is because it's similar to the word recompense, compensation. It's repaying someone for something they've done, a service they perform, an action they've undertaken. The payback, the drawback, the result is they have recompense. That can be positive or that can be negative. If we do a good job, we get payment. We get compensation. If we do a bad job, we get written up. In the words of those who often say, you do a good job, The customer's going to tell 10 people. You do a bad job, they're going to tell 100 people. The recompense that Paul speaks of at that what awaits us in the judgment before God. Here's the good news. Friends, will you receive this word of the gospel with me today? That as we stand before Almighty God and receive our recompense, we can be assured of this, that we will be represented by Jesus Christ when we put our hope in Him, and He will say to the Father on our behalf that we are a part of the new creation. You see, to be part of the new creation also means that we are created. And if we were created, friends, you know what that says to me? To be created is to be given a gift. We didn't earn it. We were claimed by God. We were saved by Christ. We were created newly through His love. And it is that love that has paid the price for any of our shortcomings and has set us free from our sin, from our death, from our brokenness forever. Dear church, may you today know the joy of being the new creation of our Lord. Let's pray. Oh God, we close in worship today grateful for your love, for your claim upon us as your children. And as we begin praying today as believers, I want to start this prayer today praying for those who have not begun their journey with you. They've heard these words and wondered if they could be a part of the new creation. So often, God, it's easier to taste and believe that something is good before we actually believe it. We have to sample. We give those who've never embraced this journey with you the courage today to try your love, to find the peace and confidence found in you, O Jesus, and in doing so, may you help them come to believe that you are God's Son. May you make yourself known to them now that your love conquers death and hate and will never let us go. God, as you are making yourself known to those who've not claimed that part of the new creation of your heavenly family, as they bow with me now, will you receive their confession of you as Lord and Savior, those who are ready to begin this journey, trusting in you to give life, love, and joy forever. God, we also pray for your church, for this congregation, for all churches that practice your gospel and power and ministry. Will you empower those who are already a part of your new creation ministry? We pray for our nation. We ask your guidance upon our president, our Senate, Congress, the Supreme Court, those who protect our freedom and our military. We pray for the powerful, the rich, the influential. We pray for the weak, the sick, the hopeless, and the hurting. We ask for miracles of grace for each one that you've entrusted us to minister to. Right now, God, we pray for our friends and family, those closest to us. We ask your hedge of protection around them. And when their hearts desire, their wants can be in accordance with your holy need, will you open the floodgates of heaven, pour forth bounteous blessings, whether the need be physical, spiritual, mental, emotional, or relational. You are the physician. We pray for those from whom we're estranged, maybe even our enemies. And may you use us each day, O God, to reflect your love and glorify your name, even as we pray for each other individually right now. May you go with us this week, that we will do the things that are pleasing to you, God. Now hear our voices as we say together in prayer the words you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. Amen. God bless you, and God be with you this day and forevermore. Amen.